lockdown, lockdown. You're the lockdown. And baby, you could lock me down.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Movie Chef Podcast, where we make a meal out of movies. And happy holiday season's greetings, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah to my co-host
Kwanzaa. Paul. Kwanzaa, Happy Kwanzaa.
Isn't that an airline in Australia?
No, that is Black Christmas.
That's Qantas. What's Kwanzaa?
Kwanzaa is an African Christmas.
Oh, Happy Kwanzaa.
No.
To our African listeners. I'm your host, Tebs. This is Cormac. Season's greetings, everybody. How are you? Are you in the spirit?
I am slowly but surely getting into the spirit after, you know, getting over my sickness. So I apologize that we haven't done an episode in the last 2 weeks, but it is because of me and I take full culpability for it.
No. I never put the blame entirely on you.
Thanks.
I must admit, if we were in a court of law when I was texting you, somebody would have stood up and said I was leading the witness. Now, Calm, do you want to do tonight or do you want to leave it till Tuesday? Oh, if we could leave it till Tuesday. Not a problem, mate. Let's leave it till Tuesday.
I was before we came on, I was obviously telling Paul the story of puking up mucus. It happened, you know, two nights in a row. I have just felt awful. I took 6 lateral flows last week and it was all negative, so there's no COVID. I haven't got the corona, the Rona, but I felt awful. So yeah, sorry.
I have finished for Christmas now. My out of office went on last Friday. I've got 2 weeks off for the first time, and I'm trying to remember how long it was. But I was remembered I was furloughed for 5 months last year.
So. Yeah. Well, I will say this. Nobody wants another lockdown. Nobody wants another lockdown.
You literally sang me a song about lockdown before this episode started.
I did not. No. What? Sit at home with my family? No.
So what does Christmas look like in the Cormac household? What's your Christmas Day look like?
Christmas Day. Now, we do something controversial on Christmas Day.
Beat the kids.
Well, no, that's just a normal day. We don't wrap up presents.
You lazy bastards.
It's not about being lazy. It's not about being lazy at all. You know, it is.
It absolutely is.
It is, yeah. We don't wrap up presents. We put them all the presents on the sofas. But like this, first couple of Christmases, we wrapped everything up. And the mess that ensues in our living room with fucking toys and all the crap. Nah, fuck
that's
that.
Christmas.
No. Listen, work smarter, not harder.
So let me get this straight. Your young'uns, they wake up Christmas morning, has Santa been, has he not been? And they come down to see 2 piles on each sofa with a piece of newspaper gently draped over the top of them.
Santa fucks their toys through the window. He drives past in his fucking Mustang, his red Mustang, and he fucks them through the door.
You're fucking... And you go on about me being a Grinch.
That's not Grinch. No. There's nothing that says fucking wrapping presents is Christmassy.
We did Secret Santa at work, and out of about 15 of us, at least 5 were still in the Amazon box. One guy give the Amazon box to somebody else sealed up. They had to go find the knife to open the Amazon box. And there's your secret. And I'm like, it's not really secret when your delivery address is on the...
The true meaning of Christmas, Amazon.
Amazon. But yeah, I am... I don't know if I've told everybody this. I'm embracing... So Christmas Eve is normally staying and have roast beef sandwiches as a tradition. In my family's house, yeah, hot roast beef sandwich on Christmas Eve.
Roast beef sandwiches?
Yeah, on Christmas. So we sacked that off. We're going at pub. We're going at pub. But we're going to have a nice meal and everything. I take my mother out for Christmas Eve. Christmas Day,
Bit of a carvery?
Very traditional. Well, the pub, no, it's set menu. Posh.
Toby? What's it, Toby? Toby?
No, Toby can't. No, we're not going for a Toby. It's posher.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. A Tobina? A Tobias?
A Tobias Cavalry. That's going to be the premium version of Toby Cavalry, yeah. Like where they do salmon and prawns, yeah, and things. Tobias Cavalry.
Oh, sorry, we don't have any gravy here.
We have a chicken jus. And then Christmas Day, I thought I'd do something, you know, very traditional, very festive. I'm going to the local Agra in the centre of Leeds, and it's an Indian buffet, all you can eat for £30.
Fantastic.
I went 2 years ago, they did Brussels sprout pakoras. And amazing. I tell you, if you think Indian food gives you wind, and you think Brussels sprouts give you wind, imagine when you fuse them cuisines together. But honest to God, it is the nicest place, nicest bunch of people. They do the turkey in the middle has got like chilies on it and stuff like that, but they're just, it's absolutely amazing. And I just refuse to pay £70 for chicken dinner. So.
Did I ever tell you the story about going to the Chinese all-you-can-eat when Rachel was pregnant with Ernie? And it was right at the bottom of the street we were living in Belfast. And it was like fucking 11 o'clock at night. It was open until like 3 o'clock in the morning. And Rachel was like, I need something to eat. Like, can we go up to the all-you-can-eat? And I was like, yeah, 100%. Now, I'd had a few drinks and I'd already had something to eat. And all I wanted was a piece of cheesecake, right? That's all I wanted. And I was like, I'll get the cheesecake. I'll buy the same thing and I'll just get cheesecake and I'll eat away at the cheesecake and you can have your meal. So we went up and she got some stuff and she could barely eat it because, you know, the whole mind over matter thing with when you're pregnant, you feel like you want to eat, but you just can't eat. And I went up and I must've had about 7 pieces of cheesecake. And the girl behind the counter then walked over and removed the cheesecake because I was eating too much.
That is... That is quite an achievement.
That's fucking
actually
horrible. And I was sitting there looking at Rachel going, you know, I didn't actually want another piece of cheesecake, but, you know, the principle of a fucking all-you-can-eat and paying my money for an all-you-can-eat and that fucker has now taken away the cheesecake makes me want to eat more cheesecake. Like, physically, I couldn't have taken any more. But, you know, principles.
I must admit, if they do that, if they say it's all-you-can-eat,
yeah,
that sounds like a bet to me.
It's a Homer Simpson situation, isn't it? Yeah. It's a Homer Simpson situation.
Okay, so we've missed quite a bit of news, but we're going to go over a little bit of it. We're going to have, fingers crossed, I'm not committing to our Christmas episode just yet. But we may have a very special Christmas Day episode that we're going to release, believe it or not, on Christmas Day. You'll find out about that later on. But now, news. So we'll start with trailers, as always. Let's just get it out of the way. Fantastic Beasts 3.
I'm going to shock you.
I've given up on this.
I'm going to shock you, Paul.
Go on.
All right. I've not watched the first 2 Super Fantastic Beasts movies, all right? Sorry. I've watched half an hour of the first one, and Eddie Redmayne really annoyed me, and I stopped watching it. I watched the trailer for this one, and for some reason, it really grabbed me.
Really?
No. Yeah, I don't know whether it was the there was a lot more Harry Potter-ish things in this. We've seen Hogwarts, and we've seen obviously Dumbledore, and there was the wands and shit and all that magical crap. It grabbed me.
Because of course we can't forget that you hate magic in movies.
Not that I hate it. I find it annoying because all I can think of is the actors going, Alakazam! Shaky fingers.
I must admit, I watched Star Wars, what was it now? Attack of the Clones, or I'm going through them all. I've got to Solo so far because I'm off work. So, of course, you're smashing every Star Wars film. But the point when they're both doing Force Lightning at each other, Anna says, that's two old blokes stood in a room pointing the fingers at each other in a giant green room, just squinting like they're trying to force a poo out.
Do you know who's really, really bad for, you know, doing them magical poses and things in Star Wars? Adam Driver.
Yeah.
Every second scene is him using some kind of power. Mm-hmm. And I think I texted you when I rewatched Skywalker again.
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking about that. I want to do the Star Wars films. We've got to do them. But to be honest, it's one of those things. They've been done to death.
Yeah.
What I want to do is maybe it's one of our first episodes. So we've got a Christmas episode coming up. We've got We're going to have a special outtakes episode between Christmas and New Year because I want a break. Then we're going to do Spider-Man No Way Home. Oh, by the way, this is going to be, apart from one new story, this is going to be a Spider-Man No Way Home free zone. So there's going
to
be,
it has to be.
It has to be because you haven't seen the film yet.
I haven't seen it.
I ain't saying shit. By the way, my block button was going overtime on Twitter this week. I'm amazed by how many, sorry, ma'am, how many spoiler cunts there are on Twitter who literally just post, they're sat in the cinema taking pictures of the screen and posting it. And you're like, you absolute gobshites. That's not saying, what about this? Did you enjoy this? Or scroll here, but the spoiler's below. Okay, that's irritating. But to just go, here's a picture of something happening. And it's not even posing a question or trying to get a conversation going. It's just saying, this is happening. So I reported two of them for farm and abusive language, and I got blocked on Twitter. Got them suspended. So fuck you.
Well,
so anyway, Dumbledore, Grindelwald. I watched the first one of these. Didn't really. I had an ex who was banging to Harry Potter, so of course now I hate Harry Potter just because it reminds me of all the shit I'd sit and watch with her. Then we had Fantastic Beasts. Total throwaway crap. I got about 20 minutes into the second one, and by all accounts, it really pissed off all the Harry Potter Hogwarts heads out there because adding different characters in and bringing brothers in and all this shit. And to be honest, I've lost track of it. And I can't believe there's still another three of these fuckers to come.
Three?
This one and two more, apparently, yeah.
Wow. I just don't see the audience. Well, obviously, Harry Potter fans, like, but I don't see the audience for them. I don't see where there's new Harry Potter fans coming from.
Well, 20, if you think, anybody who was 10, even 15 when these came out, is now 35. They're my age, right? A bit younger. But they could well be sat with their kids. You didn't have kids when the first one came out. What's the first thing you're going to do to your kids? You're going to read them the book you loved. So you read Harry Potter. They read the books. They watch the films. This is going to keep going for years, man. There's going to be some fucking textbook from page 258 of book 4 that Rowling just suddenly goes, oh, we can make an entire series out of that. There'll be another spin-off franchise. She'll be milking that book.
And but, Harry Potter was from the Philippines. She's gonna drop one of these every year, isn't she? Like, and Hermione was a secret goat. Ta-da!
A gay goat. Just be a gay goat.
Gay goat, yes.
Unless the film is going to incorporate these things, I'm not even going touching J.K. Rowling. Anywhere near it. I'm avoiding that one with a fucking barge pole. Sonic 2 got its trailer. We're going to have Robotnik's coming back. We've got Sonic again. We've got Tails and Knuckles, voiced by Idris Elba. I genuinely thought Idris Elba was going to wear the makeup like from Cats and wear the red dreadlocks and things, but no, they've gone with CGI, which I'm really upset about. Imagine that.
Rum-tum-tugger,
my name's Knuckles. My name's Knuckles, you fucker. I'm going to click your wings.
I loved the first Sonic movie.
It's great. It's a kids movie that adults can enjoy.
But leaving it on, you know, Robotnik on another planet making his way back. I loved it. Everything about it. Even your guy, what's his name? Marsden? Is that his name? Marsden?
James Marsden, yeah.
He's just become this guy who works with cartoon characters. I don't know how he was in Hop, and wasn't he in Alvin and the Chipmunks movie and stuff like that?
I don't know if you're in Chipmunks. He was in Hop, definitely, but
I think he's been in a couple where he's just worked with like computer generated things. Like, I don't know why.
I haven't watched the Alvin one since the sequel.
Just such an asshole. Nobody wants to work with him, and the only people that can work with him is like cartoon characters. I don't know. Maybe I've just made that up.
He's like the opposite. He's like the Andy Serkis of like, he can work really well with mocap rather than being good with mocap.
He can play one white guy. Wow, like, such range.
The agent gets a call. It's like, do you have anybody who can act really well with a mop stick with a picture of a fit hot hedgehog on the top of the mop? Yeah, we got James. Yeah, get him down to set. Let's get him. So there we go. We've got a couple of trailers there. I can't see. I mean, Grindelwald bullshit. I don't know. It's going to get a bunch of people going to see it. It looks interesting. I must admit, I'll watch it when it comes on Sky. I checked out on the series a long time ago. And Sonic 2, yeah. Right, the one film that I found out about recently, and how the hell have we missed this one up to now? The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. This is a film that's coming out in April 22. It's directed by Tom Gormican, and it stars Nicolas Cage, Pedro Pascal, and Neil Patrick Harris. It stars Nicolas Cage as a cash-strapped actor called Nick Cage, who agrees to a paid appearance at a billionaire superfan's birthday party, but is really an informant for the CIA since the billionaire fan is a drug kingpin and gets cast in a Tarantino movie. Now, apparently, there is a trailer for this, which we're going to fucking watch to death over the next week. I can't believe I missed this one. But apparently, it draws on all the other parts that he's played. Now, if they go down the route of him suddenly having to channel Con Air and Face Off and The Rock and all these, if this is going to be an iconic sort of moment where you're bringing all those bits from Nick Cage past, I think it's going to be incredible.
110%. You know, it is reading the little knowledge that I have about this movie, it's right up my. It's everything that Nick Cage should be doing. He has played the last 10 years of making movies so fucking well, because he would done those mid 2000 movies to 2010, where he was just taking a paycheck. And it was just trying to, you know, army movies and fucking all that real bullshit, fucking flag waving crap. And then all of a sudden he just dropped everything and he went, you know what? Fuck it. I'm a weird guy. I like weird things. I like collecting weird shit. I like reading comics. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then he just started making movies that everybody wants to see Nicolas Cage in. And I think I'm fucking here for it every day of the week. I'm here.
Have you seen Pig yet?
I haven't, but I've seen Mandy, which is fucking fantastic.
I've not seen Mandy yet, but apparently
Mandy's fantastic.
Yeah. The one in the theme park, I wasn't too sure on that one.
I haven't seen yeah.
But apparently Pig is really good. He's got another one coming out, which we'll talk about soon as well. There seems to be this trend of this where, because we've got the TV series from a couple of years ago, Jean-Claude Van Johnson, where Jean-Claude Van Damme plays a character who is an actor who is also a spy. And this, are we going to start getting that? So is the next one going to be Sly Stallone? Is really a jockey or something in the meantime?
I mean this in the nicest possible way, right? I do. I genuinely do, because I fucking love Sly Stallone. I don't think Sly Stallone can act anymore. I think he's just like, think about a plank of wood with a bit of plasticine stuck to the top of it. That's what Sly Stallone is now.
It does just shuffle around the screen. Yeah. Is that too much work? So I am really looking forward to that. We will be doing that. We might do an entire episode on the trailer next week. I don't know. But next time we do an episode, we're going to talk about that. And that is going to be our film. We're going to watch it when it comes out. We're going to love that. Hopefully it's fantastic. I'm putting my hat in the proverbial ring. So we'll only mention it once. Spider-Man No Way Home. Still in a pandemic, still in some lockdowns in some countries. It has made $587 million. Worldwide in its opening weekend. Fucking brilliant. Regardless of the film, if you put a AAA film in front of somebody with hype and a lot of rumour about it and show that, you know, something that people want to see, they will go out and see these films. There is a reason this has done more money than Eternals in its opening weekend. Because of the way it's advertised, because of the story it tells, and because it's what it's giving it people. And some people were saying Eternals failed because people rejected the woke agenda and all this stuff. Spider-Man No Way Home gives... I'm not going there. Basically, it's offering the audience something that they want, which is a AAA blockbuster film, as opposed to Eternals, which is an unknown factor. I think that's only going to get bigger. I think it's going to be the first pandemic billion-dollar film. And I think it shows if that can do it, Doctor Strange is bound to.
But that's what we talked about. Yeah, we talked about this. That this is the first Marvel AAA. We've been teased with everything that's come out, you know. And again, I'll still stick by this. Loki is probably the only thing that's been interesting since, you know, the Marvel universe has reopened. I'm really looking forward to seeing Spider-Man. I didn't expect anything else from Spider-Man. It annoys me when you have to come up against things where people are shocked that some things don't make money. Do you know what I mean? Like, I read somewhere about West Side Story. All right. So West Side Story has come out and it made like, what, $10 million in its first weekend?
Yeah, that's the next story we're going to talk about. So, yeah, $10.5 million in its domestic debut.
Yeah. Do you know the reason why it made $10 million?
I was going to ask you that in a minute. So, thanks very much. That's a good segue. Yeah. Go on.
Because it's not fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah.
100%. Because Spider-Man is one of the most iconic characters in lifetime. There's no two ways, no three ways, no four ways about it. Every single man, woman, and child knows who Spider-Man is. And everybody is invested in the Marvel. Not everybody, okay. But a lot of people are invested in the Marvel universe. So, you know, when people are wondering, well, why didn't the Eternals make us with Spider-Man? Because it's not Spider-Man. Oh, but Steven Spielberg directed West Side Story. Yeah, but Steven Spielberg isn't Spider-Man.
And that's the thing about West Side Story. I think it's a $100 million budget for a musical. $100 million. I'd imagine a lot of that is going on producers' fees. Let's put it that way.
But who's the target audience?
Well, that's it. Which kids are going to go, Mom, it's Christmas. Take us to see West Side Story, would you?
Yeah.
Not Sing 2 that's just come out, not Spider-Man. Not
or those fucking 90-year-old women that are sitting there going, oh, I remember when the first one came out. Come on, we'll go see it again. No, they're dead. They're not there. And you know what? They're going to see Spider-Man too. I want to see that fucking boy. I want to see that fucking boy up them fucking walls. Hey, who?
This stood out for me.
Look at this wee bum, hey.
Oh, I'm not even going to try it.
Oh, look at this wee bum.
Look at a wee spider bastard just swinging through there, you fucking wee shite. So,
that's a good Scottish accent there.
Cheers, I was going for Welsh. So, West Side Story seems to me is, and I mean it in the nicest possible way, because Spielberg is the greatest, is a vanity project. It is a film that was made and conceived at a time when nobody was worried about the money. Steven, you want $100 million to go remake West Side Story? Take it. We'll probably make double that back anyway. Yeah, go on. It's a home run. And you know what? I don't think Ansel, what's his name, has got anything to do with this. I think in a time when people are being a lot more, conservative, for want of a better word, with
frugal,
a bit more frugal with the money, a bit more concerned about where they go out and how many times they go out. You know, it used to be some people would probably go to the cinema once a week, see every single, you know, West Side Story would make you 200, 300 million just in people that go to the cinema every week and need something new to see. Now you're going back into the area of people going once a month. You said a couple of episodes ago, three times in a month was amazing for you to go to the cinema. So we're back to that where people are being a lot more selective. And in a month that has got Spider-Man, Matrix, Kingsman, Sing 2, and West Side Story, you need to decide which you want to, what them you want to go see.
Yeah.
And it ain't fucking West Side Story.
Or Kingsman.
Well, or Matrix Resurrections, because I was even trying to get Ghostbusters tickets in November or whenever it was difficult. I had to go on a Sunday afternoon about 2 o'clock. My local cinema is £7 a ticket, great value, but it's full up for the first 2 weeks. Absolutely rammed. Spider-Man, to get tickets on the opening day, I had to take a day off from work to be able to go in the afternoon. I did have that. I looked at my boss and I'm like, I need the afternoon off. And he's like, what for? And I'm looking at him like, to go to the cinema. And he goes, what for? I'm like, to go see Spider-Man. He goes, who are you taking? Just me. And he's looking
at that point, you take your little Spider-Man fucking toy out of your shirt. Look, I love Spider-Man.
I thought you were going to tie unbutton my work shirt. And do you know what? Spider-Man shirt underneath.
No, I'll do that. I'll go even better. Right, I'll go even better. Now, think of that same conversation, right, where your boss actually said yes to you going to Spider-Man. Now, let's go back in time and let's change that to you saying, "I want to go see West Side Story." Your boss would go, "Get the fuck back in that seat, you fucking prick, and pick that phone up and make some fucking sales West Side Story, you prick. I'll put the fucking music on the CD if you want."
100%. 100%. Yeah. So I was looking at
That's why West Side Story only made 10 million.
So, November, Ghostbusters, not a AAA film. You know, it wasn't expected to do a lot, and it hasn't. It's probably done about 200 million worldwide, which is really disappointing. But that was full up. For a week and a half, it was full. Spider-Man, I had to be on the works computer. I had two windows up trying to get tickets on the opening day because it kept crashing. When they first started selling it, it kept crashing. I wanted to see that opening day because I knew it would be spoiled. Now, you're really good at avoiding stuff. You can stay. I seem to like walk out of my front door and someone walks past and goes, "See what happened in Eternals then? You fuck." You know? We were in Pizza Hut ready to go into Spider-Man, and there were these three fucking skater boy nerds sat in one booth, and they're all talking about the film. And I'm walking there like round Saldivar going, "La la 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 la." And one of them looks up and went, "Have you not seen it yet?" I says, "I'm going in 10 minutes." They went, "Oh, sorry, mate." And they all bobbed their head down. And I'm like, "Fucking great, lads. Thank you very much." You know, but anyway.
He dies in the end.
Oh, don't kill another character off. Don't kill another director. Matrix Resurrections, I just had a look for Christmas Eve, day before Christmas Eve. Three showings, not a single ticket sold. Now it's
really?
Same cinema. Yeah, it's a 15 compared to Ghostbusters 12A. I accept that. But these were times during the day. So I'm accepting some people might be at work. But this is The Matrix. And there was not a single ticket sold.
I think there's a lot of pandemic scaring at the minute.
Well, yeah.
A lot of people. There's a lot of people don't want to invest in something that they don't think they'll be able to see, or they don't want to go somewhere where they know that they're going to be in an enclosed space. You know, I understand it completely.
Well, View Cinema are being, I don't know, I like their ticket pricing policy of cheap. Fair enough, bravo. Great seats, great cinema, great sound, everything spot on. But they say, if you want to be able to buy tickets and get them refunded up to the day of purchase, you need to be a View member. Maybe it only costs a couple of quid a year or whatever, but you need to give them your email and all your details and sign up to this fucking thing. And I'm just saying, like, maybe if you just offered to give people the money back if something went shit, like they got COVID, maybe that would be a really good thing for a business to do. Anyway, unlike Cineworld, you dogs. So, yeah, there's the cinema, state of cinema at the minute.
Never working for Cineworld, don't I?
No, I've sacked that one off. I've written that one off. Shang-Chi 2 is coming. I don't think they're going to stick with that. Shang-Chi 2. I think they might go a bit more.
Shang-Chi and the history of the Secret Rings?
Yeah, the history of the 9 discs. I don't know, maybe I thought it would be like a really shit Christmas song where the 10 sequels to Shang-Chi.
He's gonna walk around now with 9 discs and fucking 10 rings.
And in about 8 films, it's going to be Shang-Chi in a pear tree.
Shang-Chi with the 10 rings, the 9 discs, the 8 fans.
7 Lords of Leaping. 6
The 4 machine guns. The 3 Spider-Man.
2 Turtle Doves. Now, Destin Daniel Cretton, I'm assuming it's pronounced that way. It sounds a bit French, doesn't it?
Pardon?
Pardon? Destin Daniel Cretton. Mm-hmm. Doesn't Cretton sound right when I think Cretton. Apparently, he's hinted that he would like to bring Jackie Chan to the MCU. It's going to be his granddad, isn't it? Tall in the family. Or who else have we got? They're not going to go with Fu Manchu.
I'll be honest
with you. Not going there.
I'll be honest with you. Like, what was Jackie Chan's last good movie? Shanghai Noon?
Fuck off.
What?
How dare you?
The Foreigner with Pierce Brosnan playing Jerry Adams.
Really?
Have you not seen this movie?
No.
Well, what's The Foreigner? It's on Netflix.
I'm not joking. Pierce Brosnan plays Jerry Adams.
Well, he plays a man
who
talks like this an awful lot, and I'm going to take your daughter. Paul, just watch it.
Okay. The Foreigner was recent. Are we talking acting, yeah?
Yeah.
It's not done a lot, is it? The Iron Mask with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What the fuck is the Iron Mask? Is that that one with Adrian Brody in it as well?
Kung Fu Yoga. Kung Fu Panda 3.
Listen, he's fucking rich enough. Leave him alone.
He is. He's loaded. Police Story Lockdown came out in 2013. I wonder what that's about.
Well, Police Story is fucking amazing.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that because we haven't really done anything outside of English talking things. I was thinking a menu on foreign language films not in the English language.
Yeah.
Oh. Films in the English language.
The Commitments.
P.S. I love you. You're right there, Gart. Hey, you're right there, mate. I haven't seen Belfast yet. I tell you what, though, in terms of films we have watched this week, which comes really in handy for when I was going to ask you at the beginning of the episode, I watched Last Night in Soho, Edgar Wright's new film.
Mm-hmm.
And up there with his best. Now. Okay. Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz are kind of, we've had years to get to know them and know them intimately and appreciate everything about it. But as a piece of cinema, it's astounding.
Really?
Yeah. The editing, I put a tweet out to Edgar Wright and he actually liked it. So I was like...
Yes, I remember this now.
I was meme from South Park with the jizz all over the computer. I was just like, Edgar Wright's just like one of my tweets. But I was genuine about it. Costume, production design, editing, direction. That has got to be nailed on for Oscar nominations. I'm saying it now. Last Night in Soho has got to get at least costume design, production design, film editing. Unbelievable. I'm a real nerd for little things like this, but do you remember in The World's End when they stood in the bathroom in one of the pubs and mm-hmm. Rosamund Pike and Simon Pegg are arguing and the camera's face onto the mirror on the wall and it's just showing the reflection of them two back? And the way they had to do that was they had to do the scene mirrored and they projected it onto the... It was incredible. This is using the concept of one person being in a dream inside another person's body. But every reflection she passes, she sees the other person in it. And this wasn't CGI. It was all done by camera trickery, practical, if you want to call it, practical effects. Baby Driver, I thought, was a bit over... I think everyone lost the shit a bit too much for it, but this was just brilliant. Watch it. Last Night in Soho, go watch it, please.
I will. It deserves it.
No, I'm talking to the people listening to us as well, Carl.
I will as well. Fuck me, okay? Jeez, can I not fucking watch a movie as well?
No, you go watch some fucking shit on YouTube about genocide in Gabon or wherever. What have you been watching this week?
Excuse me?
Oh, you always come out with something, don't you? Come on, what serial killers have you been reading about? Well, do you know there were a guy that used to chop toes off and wear them as a necklace? But anyway,
if you must know, I was reading a book about Artus Tool. All right, there you go. All right.
Artus Tool?
Artus Tool. It was Henry Lee Lucas's lover / serial killer partner.
Cool.
I also watched The Witcher season 2.
Any good?
Fucking phenomenal.
All right. I never even finished season 1.
I can't describe to you, you know, like me and Rachel were having a conversation about this the other day. I tried to watch that Wheel of Time on Prime and it's utter shit. It looks like it's literally been filmed on a camcorder. And you know, the effects aren't great. The Witcher is visually, fuck me. The effects are stunning. They all look like practical effects as well. They're not. It's all CGI, but it looks like a practical effect. It's fucking insane how well it looks. Really good. Really, really good. Really enjoyable.
I'll have to have a watch that then. It's, like I said, the first one didn't really grab me. I didn't even finish it. I don't know. It just wasn't doing anything for me. But again, I didn't know the lore behind it. I didn't know the characters. I didn't know who that was supposed to be and why is that. That it just felt like, you know, when you watch, when you're watching Marvel and you haven't seen that TV show, so somebody in the cinema is going, why is that happening? Well, anybody who's seen the TV show knows why it's happening. Somebody else needs... There was one instance of... In fact, I'll talk to you on another episode about it. Wow, this is...
we'll talk later.
We'll talk later about it. We'll talk later. But lastly, our friend Christopher Nolan is back in the director's chair, directing Oppenheimer.
Thank God.
A $200 million epic about a man who designs a bomb. So far, we've got Rami Malek, Robert Downey Jr., Matt Damon, Cillian Murphy, Emily Blunt, and Florence Pugh added to the cast. He always seems to attract this top talent, doesn't he?
It's because it's Chris Nolan.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow. That's it. That was very quick there. Like, everybody knows that biographies are fucking cannon fodder for Oscar nominations, which is number one.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that people just love to wank over Christopher Nolan films, so they'll believe that it's good. And number three, he made Batman.
Yeah, that's true. That's right, Cillian Murphy's turned up. Have you watched The Power of the Dog yet on Netflix?
The Power of the Dog. Is it Frankie Goes to Hollywood documentary?
It's a documentary on Frankie Goes to Hollywood. If Frankie Goes to Hollywood was a cattle rancher in the early 1900s in America, I put it on. I put it on. It was looking like, you know, drama, Western, Benedict Cumberbatch, discounted Matt Damon, what's his name, Jesse Plemons, Kirsten Dunst as acting as a grown-up. You know, it really interested me. Just an awful lot of long, gaping landscape.
Holes?
Not as many as you'd imagine. Very number long holes.
I'm not interested anymore.
Everyone just going nuts over it for Benedict Cumberbatch playing a dick instead of a smug dick.
Is he like the rancher, the powerful rancher? Yeah.
Yeah, and boy, you can play a banjo.
Is he trying to steal a homestead or something? Is he trying to take land? No,
not even that interested.
Really? Is he cattle rustler? Is he cattle rustling?
Didn't rustle any cattle.
It
was more of a Western that was in the fact that it was just set west of somewhere.
Is it like a Western set into all the really tedious long bits that Quentin Tarantino put into the Hateful Eight?
Yeah. It's just long loving shots of hills for 25 minutes. Brilliant. And then Samuel L. Jackson pops up and talks about his pecker for 10 minutes. And then we go back to another gaping shot of some snow on a hill. And then it's somebody else talking about their pecker for 10 minutes.
I'm there. I'm there.
And finally, Hawkeye. Have you watched Hawkeye yet?
Like, I've not even watched anything. I was so fucking ill. Like, how many? Like, of course, well, I watched The Witcher.
When you're ill, you're supposed to get a blanket on and...
Paul, you have to understand what this illness was. It knocked the shit out of me. Like, the only reason why I've watched The Witcher is because I was feeling a tad better on Sunday night when we started it, and I was feeling a tad better last night, and we watched it. That's it. Every other day since last Sunday has been taken up with me lying in bed and coughing and, you know, choking and... Rachel!
You went to work, though.
Well,
you went to work.
I'm a fucking adult.
You can't find time to watch Hawkeye. All right.
Kevin Feige's fucking on his way to Lisbon now in the car. You fucking son of a bitch. I just put my heart and soul into this motherfucker.
Just a stack of paper. It's like Santa's list of the children who have been bad. He's got all the Disney Plus subscribers that haven't watched Hawkeye yet. Just knocking on all the... It's like going around and knocking on all the doors, beating them up one after the other. It's like James Silent Bob.
No. I would say it would be that, like, passive-aggressive one. No. Hello? Hi, Cormac. I'm just wanting to know, does your TV work? Well, I don't know what you mean, Kevin. Well, I'm just asking because we put Hawkeye up there about 3 weeks ago and you still haven't seemed to watch it. So I'm just asking if your TV's broken because
We all put a lot of effort into that one. We really put a lot of effort into that.
I don't understand why you would even do this to me and to Big Knuckle Guy. I just don't understand. Sorry.
No, it's all right. So you haven't watched it.
That was my award.
Fair enough. So, coming up, we are going to have a conversation about what constitutes a Christmas movie. You picked a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't a Christmas movie.
Christmas movie that isn't a Christmas movie.
And I picked a Christmas movie that isn't a Christmas movie for you to watch.
It definitely wasn't a fucking Christmas movie.
Well, I beg to differ. I think mine definitely was absolutely a Christmas movie. I got really high watching it, and I figured what Gremlins is.
I was talking about the other one. Nice white shot.
Yeah, well, that's just softcore porn. I just thought, you know.
Really?
Just thought you might need a bit of cheering up, son.
But you know what? The most annoying thing was there was very little softcore porn in it.
Not
it was
a lot, isn't it?
It was just all boobs. Not even that. It was kind of all just fucking. You know, I said it to Rachel. It's face erections. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not. You can't see an erection on somebody. You can't see his lad, but you can see the. And you know that kind of look, and it's like that doesn't turn me on. Like, seeing Tom Cruise's erection face doesn't turn me on.
His erection.
Well, that's what it is. Everybody walked around with, like, an erection face. You could picture Stanley Kubrick behind the camera just with a big fucking hard-on going, act harder. Yeah, act harder.
That shoot lasted for, like, 400 days. In fact, let's get into it. Yeah. All right, here's Christmas films that aren't Christmas films, but they really are, but they're not. Enjoy. Okay, so, bit of a change of plan. Right now you're expecting Cormac and I to be talking about Gremlins and Eyes Wide Shut, but something else has just come up, which has taken a bit longer than we anticipated. So in the end, Cormac, is Eyes Wide Shut a Christmas film? Or is it a
no.
No, it's not.
It's a film set at Christmas, and it's not even a good porno, because I couldn't even have a wank to it.
Fucking hell.
Okay. I'm just being utterly honest. Like,
I was just about to start naming things that you could have a wank to, but I don't really think I want to go there. Free Willy.
Gremlins. Listen.
See, I went into it thinking Gremlins was not a Christmas film, and it absolutely is.
It's it 100% is. Yeah.
It's about commercialization of Christmas. It's about anyway.
Her
so
dad dies as Santa Claus up the chimney.
Isn't it? It's a fucking Christmas film. We had a war on at work the other day. Well, not a war. A lot of people just going, huh. Basically, I did a quiz for the team. Different questions about Christmas. What happened?
Am I going to get quizzed now?
No. Oh, I could do, actually. Let's ask you a few of the questions. In which year did William the Conqueror was coronated on Christmas
Day? 1066.
Yay! I won't believe how many people got that one wrong.
Really?
In what year did Jesus of Nazareth turn 2 years old?
Two?
Yep, you wouldn't believe how many... One person put 31 BC. what year did George Michael die?
Oh, 2017.
16, so close.
Really? I thought 17 was the shit year.
Prince no, 16.
Bowie died 2017.
I thought they died 16. Anywho. Right. So news, bit of a shorter episode this week, because, like I said, something that has just come up.
Well, a special episode ran over.
Yeah, so I've been waiting for months to say this, and I've been terrified about saying it, and then it goes wrong, and then you all go, you're full of shit, you know, when it doesn't actually happen. Can I say it?
100%, I wanted to say it.
Our Christmas gift to you, dear listener, and we're telling you this now exclusively. It won't go on Twitter until tomorrow.
5 minutes till I leave the garage and go in, yes.
we'll be releasing our episode of the Movie Chef interview with none other than Xander Berkeley, star of Terminator 2.
George fucking Mason.
George fucking Mason, Air Force One, 24, V, The Mentalist, The Walking Dead.
A-Team, A-Team, Cagney, Lacey, Falcon's Crest. I'm going to go through all the shitty TV shows that he doesn't want us to mention.
He didn't want to mention any of those, did he?
LA Takedown.
Let's talk about Cagney and Lacey. Fucking well, let's talk about my artwork instead. But Xander Berkeley, a joy, a gent. We were supposed to be recording tonight's episode alongside the interview. I mean, we expected to have about 30 minutes with him, and
I genuinely thought it would be, he's too fucking busy, man. Yeah. God almighty, he's too busy. But the man done us the fucking absolute pleasure of giving us an hour and a half of his goddamn time. What an absolute legend.
And I can't stop smiling. And this has been months in the making since we first had a conversation with him. So look, very grateful for that. That is going to be released on Christmas Day. Like I say, it's our gift to you listeners. It's our gift for ourselves, really. But yeah, we'll let you join in with it and we'll let you play. I'm buzzing. I'm going to go and, I don't know. I'm just going to go and enjoy life.
I'm going to go and tell everybody on Twitter what I just did.
So that's us. Yeah, so we've got the Christmas episode, the interview with Xander Berkeley coming out this Saturday, Christmas Day. Following that, we're going to have the leftovers, which are all the other few bits of stuff. And then moving into next week, we're going to be dealing with Spider-Man No Way Home if Cormac manages to see it.
I will. Hey, Johnny!
Cormac says hi.
Hey, this is Johnny!
Goodbye, everybody.